May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 964. If to thee I breathe my prayer, Lord, wilt thou not deign to hear? Shall I seek but seek in vain? Shall I ask and not obtain? Hymn 964.
The Lord to bless his word to our souls this evening. Let us read together from the Gospel of John and reading chapter 16. The Gospel of John and reading chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you, but now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this, that he saith unto us, A little while, and ye shall not see me? And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, What is this, that he saith a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. May God bless his word to us and help us to call upon his name in prayer. Let us all pray. Most blessed and eternal God, we would come with that desire to draw near unto our Father in heaven through the intercession of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that we may indeed join together in true prayer and pray in our prayers and be blessed with that effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. Gracious God, grant us then liberty and reality and fervency in our prayers. Lord, let us not just utter words to the unknown God, but grant, gracious God, that we may come and pray to our God in heaven. And oh Lord, do look upon us then, even this evening, as we've come together, we've gathered here professedly to worship the Lord. And we pray that it may be true of each of us that we have come to worship the Lord. Grant, Lord, we may not be found wanting in this respect. Grant that we may not be numbered amongst those who pretend to be what they're not. But grant, gracious God, that we may be found amongst the true worshippers who worship in spirit and in truth. And gracious God, do grant that such considerations may weigh very heavily in our heart. Grant that we may therefore be blessed tonight with a right spirit. And Lord, should we have a wrong spirit, we pray that thou wilt grant us that light in our heart so that we may desire to be found right and not to be left in a lost and ruined condition with a false hope founded upon a false sandy foundation. But O Lord, do grant tonight we may be blessed, eternally blessed, with that heartfelt knowledge that we are founded upon that rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, we come tonight and say, other refuge have I none. And O Lord, may it be true of each of us O Lord, we greatly fear the reality of those who come and go and possess no life in their souls. O Lord, we pray tonight that we each of us may have a right understanding that eternity is a tremendous sound. Oh Lord, we pray then we may not be found sleepy, but oh Lord, we may be diligent in the things of God. And oh Lord, may we be given that grace to search diligently to make our calling and election sure, for it is God that worketh in us. Oh, may we have the evidence tonight of the gracious, glorious work of that Holy Spirit. Lord, let us not be deceived. Oh, we tremble greatly, Lord, at the possibility, the real possibility of being deceived in the things of God, and to have sat comfortably under the influence of Satan, and yet find we're lost at last. Oh, gracious God, do be gracious to us. Do be gracious to every one of us. And we pray, Lord, that we may have the evidence that we are born again of the Holy Spirit of God, that we possess that spiritual life which is given to us. And Lord, we pray then that we may know whom we have believed. Lord, do grant that these great concerns and desires and blessings may be ours tonight. O Lord, send none empty home. We pray, Lord, there may be that blessing bestowed upon us, that blessing from on high, that blessing through the work of the eternal Holy Spirit. O Lord, grant the word tonight may be applied to our hearts. And so we pray, Lord, even as we've read the word of God tonight, that those words of the Lord Jesus may have come to us as the word of God and not just the word of man. And oh, do grant we may treat the word of God, the Holy Scriptures, as the inspired word of the ever-living God. And therefore, Lord, may we treasure it. May we prize it. May we bless our God for it. May we desire to read it evermore. And as we read it, may it speak to our hearts. May we receive food from the word of God, which will do us eternal good. Lord, may we seek after spiritual food more intently and more avidly than we do after our natural food. Oh, Lord, help us to realize the triviality of the things of this life, and how those things, Lord, which may appear attractive and needful to us, will soon fade away. Grant that we may realize our soul shall live forever. And grant then, Lord, our concern may be to be blessed with that spiritual food, and may we realize that spiritual food is Christ. Oh Lord, we pray tonight we may heed the words that the Saviour said, "Except ye eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, there is no life in you." Oh gracious God, we pray then to be blessed with these wonderful blessings, these eternal blessings. May Christ tonight be precious to us. May he be lifted up. May it be a living reality. May we be able to leave far behind everything else. Indeed, we think of those words, give me Christ or else I die. And so, Lord, we pray then for the favour of God to be upon us here tonight. We're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity of coming together. What a mercy this is. We think, Lord, of the millions in this world who do not have this privilege, who have no desire, have no concern, have no wish to meet with their God. And many more millions know nothing of the truth of God, the Word of God, born and brought up in alien lands, O Lord, where Christianity is not tolerated. Oh, and so, Lord, tonight, what need we have to praise and thank our God for this wonderful opportunity that is given to us tonight of being found in the attitude of worship. And so, Lord, touch our hearts with true praise and thanksgiving unto our God. Lord, great are thy mercies. Great are thy favours. Lord, help us to think tonight the privilege that we have, that we're born in this land, in a Protestant land, the open Bible before us, the privilege of hearing the Word of God preached, gathering together with other like-minded people. Oh Lord, what cause we have to thank our God. And Lord, may we then truly bow down and worship tonight. Deliver us then, Lord, from anything less than this. And as we think of the mercies which we are surrounded with, we would not forget the suffering Church of God in this world at the present time, realizing that there are very many who do not have the ability to gather as we do. Lord, who perhaps gather even this evening in fear of their lives, in fear of being arrested, in fear of having their homes destroyed. Oh Lord, bless such. Those who may be perhaps worshipping covertly tonight, O Lord, gather them, be with them, grant they may be blessed in their worship, they may be able to go to their homes in peace and in safety. And so, Lord, as we think of the afflicted and persecuted church, we would earnestly pray for them. And, O Lord, grant the help and support in their every time of need. But, O Lord, help us ever to draw a comparison with our favoured situation. And Lord, to come before our God and to mourn our lack of zeal, perhaps our lack of true desire, perhaps our worldliness, perhaps our carnality, perhaps our fleshliness. Oh Lord, how sad and how solemn to realise we have such blessings in our hand, and yet often we turn our back upon our God. O Lord, come and in wrath remember mercy. Come, gracious God, and visit our souls with thy salvation. Grant that we may be lively in the things of God. Our lives may show forth the praises of the Lord. O Lord, let us not be silent Christians. O Lord, let us never be left to hide our light. O Lord, help us ever to remember the enormous cost of our salvation. O Lord, help us to ponder what the Saviour did, that we might possess the gift of eternal life. And we pray, O Lord, then, that the remembrance of these things may truly be blessed to our hearts, and may move our spirits, and grant us that living and real and lasting concern to do the will of our God. O Lord, not being careful with regard to the cost, we are reminded, Lord, of those in the Word of God, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they weren't careful to answer the king. They knew the response. They knew the outcome. But, oh, Lord, we're thankful they feared the Lord more than the fear of man. Oh, we pray, Lord, in this assembly here tonight, each one may be amongst those who truly fear the Lord more than the fear of man. And therefore may they be concerned to do the will of God, not fearing the wrath of the king, not fearing perhaps the wrath of others, perhaps not fearing the wrath of their families. Oh Lord, move, we earnestly pray. Lord, may we know the truth of those words. The love of Christ constraineth us. And we know, Lord, we bless thee for it. It is a constraining power. And therefore, Lord, grant, even tonight, there may be the wonderful movement of the Holy Spirit to this effect, that we may indeed be moved by that blessed Spirit as we remember the love of the Saviour. Oh, gracious God, come then, we pray, and get honour and glory to thy great and holy name. For, Lord, thou art worthy of all praise, of all adoration, for all that thou hast done for unworthy sinners. And so, gracious God, hear us then when we come tonight pleading for these blessings. Lord, we freely confess we are not worthy of them, but we come pleading the name of the Saviour. O Lord, God Almighty, grant that these things may be done in the worthy name of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, then remember us each for good. We think of those who are not able to be with us here tonight, those perhaps at home with their children. Be with the Lord and bless them. There may be those, Lord, who could have come tonight, but have decided to stay at home. We pray, gracious God, for the blessing of the Lord to come into their hearts, that they may feel convicted and sorry for their omission, and desire truly to be forgiven. And so, Lord, grant there may be real living desires to come and gather with the Church of God whenever they gather together for worship. Lord, may it never be an irksome thing. May it never be a hard thing. But Lord, may it be a joyful thing, a joyful occasion. May it be with haste they come to the place to behold the Lamb of God. Oh, gracious God, then, we pray for these things. We're thankful, Lord, that still we live in a gospel day. We're thankful we're still favoured and privileged to hear the Word of God proclaimed. We're thankful for the freedom that we enjoy. But, Lord, let not these blessings pass over our head. And worse still, Lord, let them not pass us by. And so, Lord, we come seeking for these great blessings. Lord, we're thankful that we are coming to a King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, we know we have a God who is able to do for us far more exceeding abundantly than we can ask or even think. Oh, grant then, Lord, we may come and pray in faith, nothing wavering. We desire, Lord, that in all these our requests, the name of our God may be honoured and glorified. Grant, Lord, that we may be nothing, that we may indeed realize and know ourselves, as the Apostle Paul declared, less than the least of all saints. Give us that grace to take the lowest place. Make us each willing to be a doorkeeper in the house of our God, rather than dwell in the tents of wickedness. And so, Lord, we pray that we be gracious to us and bless us indeed. And again, we pray for thy rich blessing upon thy people here as they gather here week by week. Lord, as thy servants come and preach the gospel, may they feed upon the word. And as we ask this morning, grant them a pasture, if it could be thy holy will, may there really be that true seeking, that true desire, that true living concern, that may be one set over them who may come in and out and be made a true blessing to many here. We think, Lord, of this village of Swaversey and the surrounding area. Lord, we see so many going their own way. Think of all those people that walk past here this morning to go to the paper shop. Oh, gracious God, that there may be those who may be arrested in their hearts to cause to be consider their ways and to realize they are on that way to eternal destruction. And grant that there may be, therefore, that direction by the Holy Spirit, they may come and even worship in this place. Lord, help us then to pray for these things. Let us not, Lord, be self-centered. May we be concerned, Lord, for the gracious conversion of many souls. Hear us, O Lord, then, when we seek for these blessings. Look upon us now for good. Bless us indeed. Forgive our every sin. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 954. Save me, O God, my spirit cries, and on thy faithful word relies. Save me from sin, my desperate foe, that fills my soul with every woe. Hymn 954.
Thank you.
May it please the Lord to bless us together this evening as we consider his word. Let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 16, and reading verse 22. The Gospel of John, chapter 16, and reading verse 22. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. These words form part of the address or the sermon that the Lord Jesus spoke to his 11 disciples in the upper room on that Passover night. It was a wonderful and an amazing occasion. And clearly the disciples at that time did not fully appreciate the significance of the situation and were not aware of what was to follow in the hours that were to come after this occasion. And yet the Lord has spoken to them so very beautifully and so lovingly with regards to those things which would happen, those things which would come, and the effect that it would have not only on them but on many others, the unbelievers and the believers. And so we're thankful that we have tonight the truth of God's word, and we can read. What a favor it is to be able to read the words of the Lord that he spoke on this occasion. And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament. Well, when was that? That was, of course, when the Lord Jesus was crucified, when he faced that agonizing situation, perhaps in the judgment hall. But there was going to be that time that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. You see, the world, they thought the man Jesus had been crucified, and that was the end. And therefore, they rejoiced. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And they were sorrowful. We only have to remember the occasion of those two on the Emmaus Road. They were sorrowful. They couldn't understand what had happened. They'd hoped that the Lord Jesus would be the Saviour, and yet he died. And yet he was buried. And then they were confused, really, about that which had been told them, that he was risen from the dead. And then Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And then he spoke to them out of all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. What a change came upon those two on that Emmaus Road. What did they declare when they went back and told the disciples? Did not our heart burn within us as he spoke to us by the way? Oh, it was a blessed time. And just to think they travelled all that way to Emmaus, and the Lord had then revealed himself to them, and they immediately returned to tell the disciples the good news, the wonderful news that the Saviour had appeared unto them. Oh, how their sorrow was turned into joy. We think of Mary Magdalene, don't we, at the weeping at the tomb. The Lord spoke to her and said, Mary, just one word. It was the voice of her beloved. What a gracious effect it had upon her. She turned and said, Rabboni, which is to say master. Yes, she feared he was dead. What had happened? But now she rejoiced. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And the Lord gives then the analogy which we are familiar with. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. So then we have this word, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Well, this, of course, was a very true statement. And how we know it came to pass. And how there was that sorrow. And then how there was that joy, which the disciples rejoiced in with a risen Saviour. And they were blessed then with that real joy that no man could take from them. And as we see that in a real state, a real consideration, I want to speak tonight in a spiritual application of this word. As we may consider it as it respects ourselves. Now, of course, we were not there when Christ was crucified. But the truth is, the Church of God, those who have come into the light, that means those who have been shown something of their sin, something of their need of a Saviour, and have been directed then to look unto the Saviour. Indeed, those words are so precious. Look unto me, be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. There's no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And if tonight, by the grace of God, we have looked to the Saviour in our great time of need, and have indeed been blessed with some comfort to believe that the blessed Jesus is the one who has died on our behalf. And now perhaps we are not enjoying the presence of the Lord as we desired. And the result is that we have sorrow. We have sorrow. Well, we will not have sorrow unless the Lord Jesus Christ means anything to us. And the great important question then tonight for all of us, young and old, is very simply this. What think ye of Christ? Now you have to answer that before God. You have to answer that question. What think ye of Christ? It's a very important question. There's many questions which you may have to answer in your life. But there's no more important question than this. What think ye of Christ? Tonight, if If I was to go around the chapel and ask each one in turn, what do you think of Christ? What would be your response? What would you say? What would you say? Because it's not anything that can be passed to someone else. What think ye of Christ? What does he mean to you? To many people, in the day when the Lord lived upon earth, he was just a name and just a man. The day and age in which we live, to many people today, he is just a name and just a man. And I have to tell you tonight, there are many people who sat in chapel, indeed no doubt sat in this chapel, to whom the Lord was just a name. He meant nothing to them. Just a name. Well, tonight, is the Lord Jesus to you just a name? Or does he mean more to you than that? Well, I hope and I pray that he may be to you the only way of salvation, so that you are able to say, or truly desire to say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the feeblest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Are you trusting tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation? We all need salvation, every one of us. We've all been born in this world. The Word of God tells us we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. My friends, if we die in that state, we shall go to hell forever and ever and ever. And do not underestimate the terribleness of a lost eternity in hell, where there is no hope. And if you sat under the gospel all your life and never heard the truth, you will have an eternity to regret the situation. It is not something to trivialize with. It's not something to play at. Our salvation is the most important thing in this life. If you own the world, it would be irrelevant by comparison with the state of your soul in eternity. And so, may you be able to answer that question, what think ye of Christ, in a right way? Now be assured of this, you will not come to a right knowledge of Christ in and of yourselves. It is, bless God it is, the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. It's brought about by the sovereign grace of God. Nothing in you or me that can merit any esteem. But we'll fall down confessing our sin, that we deserve to be cut off. We deserve to spend eternity in hell because we've offended God. Perhaps we've sinned against light and knowledge. You know, you're here tonight. No doubt you've heard the gospel on many occasions. You won't be able to stand before that judgment seat and say, well, I was never told. You'll never be able to hide behind that. But all the blessing is if the Holy Spirit of God has come and convinced you, and I mean that, convinced, it's not just something which is passing, it's something which is from the Spirit of God. My friends, when the Spirit of God works, that work, that word, is applied to the heart, to the soul. It has an effect. You're not able to dispense with it. You're not able to shrug it off. The work of the Holy Spirit is a sovereign, gracious, glorious, special work. And it'd be a great blessing if you know the Spirit's work to convince of your need of a Saviour because of your sin. A wonderful thing if we come like those in the Scripture who cried out, what must I do to be saved? It wasn't what he's going to do or she's going to do. What must I do to be saved? Saved from my sin. Saved from hell. Delivered from my sin. Delivered from hell. Do you tremble before God? Have you trembled before God? Because of your condition? Because you fear what would happen to you? Happen to your soul when you die? Have you trembled before God? Not much trembling, you know, today. Blessed thing it is if you tremble before God and seek unto the Saviour. You may say, well, why are you going down this track tonight? Purely for this reason. This word tells us, and ye now therefore have sorrow. You will not have sorrow unless you know the Saviour. You will not have sorrow unless you know the Saviour. But if you do know something of the Saviour, and the Saviour has withdrawn himself, as it were, he's gone away, and sometimes, you know, we find our sin drives the Lord away. Now, if that's in that situation, sometimes we're hard-hearted, but it's a wonderful blessing if the Lord touches our heart. So that if we're in that situation where we mourn a lack of fellowship and union with the Lord Jesus Christ, we sorrow. And that's a real sorrow. It's a sorrow which is true from the heart. It's not weasel words. It's true, we sorrow because we don't know and realize and feel the influence of the Saviour with us. Now you won't understand that unless you've had a touch from the Saviour. It won't mean anything to you. That's why I introduced it in the way I did. But oh, may we know a true sorrow. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. And that may be the longing of your heart. I hope it is. You desire to see the Saviour again. That you desire to have fellowship with the Saviour. That you desire that he will come to you and that you will walk with him in union and communion. My friends, the reality of true religion is unity with Christ. Give me Christ, or else I die. Therefore tonight, what does Christ mean to you? Is he your only hope of salvation? Do you long? Do you earnestly long? Do you earnestly pray for fellowship with the Saviour? For nearness to him? Or are you wandering away? Are you far off? If you are far off, do you sorrow because of it? You may look at yourself. You may realize that your sins have separated between you and your God. And do you mourn an absent God? Do you cry out? He might return to you. You may have turned your back upon the Lord. You know, Jonah did that, didn't he? God told Jonah what to do. Jonah didn't want to do it. He got better ideas, so he thought. The Lord knew where Jonah was. The Lord knew all about Jonahs. I don't know, we may have some Jonahs here tonight. We've turned their back upon the Lord. They've got different ideas. Jonah didn't want to do what God had commanded him. He knew it wouldn't be easy. My friends, the Christian path is not easy. But I'll tell you this, the Christian path is a wonderful path because blessed with a union with the Saviour. And so Jonah, cast overboard. There he was, in the belly of that whale for 3 days and three nights. Well, what darkness there was, wasn't there? Hard-hearted he was. And then we read, then it was, he looked towards God's holy hill. He then began to pray. In that dark place, he saw his Lord. And we read this. He's able to declare, what a truth. Salvation is of the Lord. He realized what a favor it was. And then you see that blessed work of the Spirit in Jonah's life had moved him. And now he was willing in the day of God's power. The word came the second time to Jonah. He obeyed the Lord then. Well, it may be that you're sorrowing tonight because you've been like Jonah. You turned your back upon God. You knew what you should do. You knew the commands of God towards you. You've turned your back upon God. You may be tonight in the whale's belly. You may be in darkness. But remember, look again. Once more to pray again. Don't give up. Pray again. Look towards the Lord. So that light may once more shine. And you may be able to declare, salvation is of the Lord. It's not of self. It's of the Lord. Sorrow. And ye now therefore have sorrow. Well, do you tonight? Are you sorry tonight? Are you sorrowful tonight because you're not enjoying the blessed favour of the Lord with you? You see, the effect was that these disciples would indeed be sorry. They would be sad because of these things. And in an earlier verse we read, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Or perhaps sorrow has filled your heart. Well, here we have the promise of the Lord. Remember, I'm speaking to those who know something of the Lord. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. I will see you again. The Lord will come again. He will come to you. He will bless you. He will not leave you. I will see you again. Is that what you want tonight? Is that what you want to hear from the Saviour? Those glorious words, I will see you again. Yes, well, you might feel, oh, I don't deserve it. That's true. But bless God, it's not dependent upon what we deserve. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. And it will be a mercy if we come to that state where we have that sorrow. Sorrow because the Saviour is not with us. We don't feel the Saviour with us. The actual fact never leaves us nor forsakes us, but we don't always feel that. And we may sorrow because of the situation we find ourselves in. But I will see you again. And he says, and your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man taketh from you. The word of God is very beautifully positive, isn't it? I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice. Now this will be the outcome of those who are truly sorrowing before God after a godly sort. A true sorry. A true concern. They're missing the Saviour. They want the Saviour. They want compassion. They want union. They want communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. I often think the Apostle Paul gave such a wonderful illustration to that when he addressed the Philippians, when he spoke to them about his desire to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us this, third chapter, but what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, without any doubt, he's saying here, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. What a value he put on the Saviour. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Oh, how valuable the Lord Jesus Christ was to the Apostle Paul. What he meant to him. What does he mean to us tonight? You see, he gives this statement. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ. There may be many excellent things in this world. They don't compare with the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. He was able to confess that he was his Lord. He wasn't speaking here of someone he didn't know anything about. Yes, he knew something of the Saviour. And he is able to show us his real interest, his real concern, as he wrote these words to the Philippians. And my friends, they are so very important, they are so very true, and we come so very far short today, and so often there seems to be a satisfaction. We're just resting. Doesn't seem to be this concern, this real desire, this real liveliness of soul, this concern that we might live to the honour and praise of our God and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And this is a very precious statement as well, because what it means is very simply this: our blessed Lord Jesus Christ has taken our sin and imputed it, our sin, to himself, and in exchange has given, as imputed to us, his righteousness. And my friends, if you and I are touched with a realization of this blessing, you know, your heart will rejoice. You'll bless God. You'll stand amazed at his great love towards you. And you'll say, with a hymn writer, on such love, my soul still ponder. Oh, what love of the Saviour to me, in taking my sin, all my sin, every sin, to himself. He never deserved any of it, and yet he willingly took my sin, everything, and gave me his righteousness. Oh, that spotless robe. What an exchange. See the words here? But sorrow, exchange, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Blessed with this wonderful revelation, which it is. How good it is to rejoice. And you see, this is a truth which can never be removed, and it's an application which can never be taken away from us. If we're blessed with this, oh, what a wonderful thing it is to know the Lord has taken our sins, every sin, vile sins, black sins, sins of unbelief. He's taken them away and placed them upon himself, and he carried them. He bore them. He took them to the cross. He bore there all incarnate God could bear, with strength enough and none to spare. This is this glorious Saviour. Have we sorrowed because we don't see and feel the smilings of his face? The Apostle Paul knew the Lord, of course he did. But yet he desired this greater fellowship and union with him. He desired to live near to the Lord. And he comes and says this, that I may know him. The Apostle, of course, knew the Lord. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Risen life, the power of resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And it may be that perhaps if you think of a word like that, and fellowship of his sufferings, you may perhaps recoil against it and think, well, I don't think I can really pray for that. The Lord can bring about these things in a very different way to the way we may expect. But I can assure you that there is no more blessed place than to be favoured with union with Christ in his sufferings. There is something very wonderful about that, that we, as poor sinners, are enabled to enter in a little into what it cost the Saviour to redeem our souls, fellowship with his sufferings. Yes, and how intense they were. I've been suffering so intense, angels have no perfect sense. They were great. And so, here we have this, that the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He was concerned about the blessing of eternal life. Well, tonight, why have you come here tonight? Just because it's Sunday evening. Why have you come here tonight? Is it to hear about Jesus? Is it to hear what he's done? Is it to hear about the truth of his word? You might feed upon Christ. Feed upon his sufferings. And that of course does not mean physically. It means to meditate upon what he's done. As it were, draw aside and be blessed with that profitable meditation upon the death of the Saviour and then the resurrection. And your heart shall rejoice. You see, it's a joy unspeakable because it has eternal blessings with it. Because it's only the people of God who are blessed with the gift of eternal life that have these living desires in the heart. And as we're blessed with a little fellowship, there's that realization, this is not of the flesh, this is not of this world, this is of the Spirit of God. This is the work of the Spirit. And this is shown to me as love and mercy. And there is a rejoicing, it's a humble rejoicing, but it's a real rejoicing. Have you rejoiced in what the Saviour's done? Have you rejoiced in that? Can you say tonight, yes, bless God, my heart has rejoiced. And we know this is true, and your joy no man taketh from you. It's God given. It's not man given. It's God that gives it. It's a revelation of his favour to your soul. It's an eternal blessing. It cannot be removed. It's that which gives us that entrance into glory, to that inheritance which is incorruptible and which is undefiled, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. What a thought it is to think as a place in heaven, reserved. A place that can't be occupied by anyone else. A place that was reserved from eternity. A place in glory. Your joy, no man taketh from you. A humble belief that the Lord has gone before. As the Lord spoke in the 14th chapter, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Has the Lord gone to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Do we want to go and to be with where Jesus is? I wonder whether you do. There's a good soul in one of the Bethesda homes who is doing just that. She's waiting for the Lord to come to be where Jesus is. That's her heaven. my friends, may that be our heaven, to be where Jesus is. I wonder what view you have of heaven. I wonder what view you have of heaven. Well, heaven is to be where Jesus is. Heaven is to be able to come and to praise and to worship that glorious Saviour that died for such a wretch as we are. That's heaven. And again, if we are blessed with that good hope, we won't come to heaven without some little foretaste of this rejoicing while here on this earth. We won't get to heaven and be a stranger, because we shall be going home. Home to glory. We won't be leaving our home. The worldly man, he has to leave his home. The children of God, they leave this wilderness and they go home to the Saviour, to worship him for eternity. So tonight, come back to that question, what think ye of Christ? Do you desire to go home, to be where Jesus is, to praise his name forever and ever? And I believe if we have that desire, we should understand what this verse is about. And ye now therefore have sorrow. We may have sorrow, but I will see you again. The promise is true. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Well, may we understand. Or may every one of us tonight understand something of these truths. Oh, my friends, let us not carry on ignorant the life of God in our soul. If you come tonight and have to say, I know nothing of these things, be honest to God and pray to him mightily that he might bless you with spiritual eyes to know the truth of God's will, to know your true state before a holy God, and be blessed with that hope of eternal life through Christ, through his one sacrifice for sin, and that one day by his grace you may be found in glory, singing his praises for ever and ever. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £590, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. John Rosier will preach on Friday evening, and next Lord's Day Mr. Richard Field is expected, and he hopes to address the Sunday School in the afternoon, and God willing he will administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And our friends at Fenstanton hold their anniversary services on Saturday, God willing. Let us close with hymn 587. Come, whosoever will, nor vainly strive to mend, sinners are freely welcome still to Christ, the sinner's friend. Hymn 587.
Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and forever. Amen.